Good evening, everyone. Wonderful to see you. My name is Alistair Willis, otherwise known as Number 5. And this is Number 1. This is Sandeep Das, tabla player extraordinaire. Everyone. Welcome, Sandeep.
I wish my wife would call me Number 1 for anything.
Well,
I wish she was here to hear someone call me Number 1. This was my one chance.
Well, I know Sandeep isn't auditioning for, or are you? Are you up for the position of music director?
Nobody wants me. Nobody wants me.
And I know you probably want to hear from me, but let me tell you, he's far more interesting than I am, and I'm so grateful that he's been willing to join me for this talk. I'm going to talk about the opening piece in the concert, so we're not going to talk much about the first piece. Sandeep plays the second piece, and that's what we're going to focus on. And I do a little bit of narration with the Prokofiev. So we're going to focus mainly on tabla and Dinuk Widjuratne, the composer. Did I say that right?
Yes.
I practice. Should we all say Dinuk Widjuratne? Well, that's not bad. That's great. Sri Lankan born, Dubai raised, English educated, lives in Canada.
Yes.
Did I get that right? Yeah. So, global reach, and hearing his piece for the first time was revelatory. But we can't start there, we've got to start. So, how did we first meet? Which tour was it?
We were at Tanglewood.
Was it Tanglewood?
Yes.
Right.
And you had been asked to join. You go ahead.
Sandeep is a member of the Silk Road Ensemble, and that's Yo-Yo Ma's award-winning group, which consists of some of the top global musicians in the world. And it's always fun to be asked to collaborate with them because you never know what you're going to get, like a Silk Road meeting. Sometimes you'd exchange silks or you'd exchange goods or stories and music. You play music with whoever was there. So they go on tour and they bring whoever's available and they create a program around that. Mm-hmm. And my first time seeing this man with these two drums make unbelievable sounds. I mean, I don't know how you do that, but we're all going to find out because he's going to show us. But how did Yo-Yo get hold of you?
I think it was destiny.
He called me as well, yes.
When I got a phone call, you know, this is pre-internet, pre-cell phone, so I got a phone call saying someone called Yo-Yo Ma. I didn't know who he was, and though I had been playing in the US since 1990, but I would come and play Indian classical concerts. So all I heard was Yo-Yo Ma, some artist, wants you to come and play with the New York Philharmonic for 4 world premiere concerts. I knew New York Philharmonic because I had played at the Lincoln Center, the Indian classical concerts, but the primary reason I said yes, that was the money they were offering was very good.
Very, very good. Here you go.
So I was like, okay, he might be someone. They're offering me good money. And that's how I said yes and flew in for the first 4 concerts.
And you had never played, not alone had met him, but you'd never played with an orchestra at this moment.
No.
So you show up to the first rehearsal and what happened?
Well, not something that I'm very proud of, but so I walk up on stage at Lincoln Center. Kurt Masur was the conductor. First of all, I had never seen so many musicians on stage because Indian classical music, you know, is mostly 2 or 4 people that you play on stage ever. So I was like, wow, so many people. That was my first thought. Then as I was settling down on my platform, a woman came and kept a metal something in front of me, and I was like, what is that? She said, that's a music stand. Before I could react to that, another woman came and put some pieces of paper, and I was like, and that? And she said, that's your music. My first thing that came out of my mouth was, well, but that's blocking my view. Then I was like, that's music? I can't read. So there was this pin drop silence that they have flown this fool from all the way from India, who can't read music, to play 4 world premiere concerts with the Lincoln, you know, with the New York Philharmonic. And that's when I made another mistake. I raised my hand And I said, if you play it once for me, I'll memorize it. First of all, I didn't know that you don't tell the New York Philharmonic when to play. Secondly, I didn't know that it was a 28-minute long piece. That's when this man, who was somewhere in the crowd, stood up with a big violin and turned towards the orchestra and said, you know what? These Indian musicians, they do crazy stuff. Why don't we listen to him and just play it for him? I was like, I like that guy. You know, later on I found out that that's not a big violin, that's what a cello is. And that great guy is actually the greatest human being that I have met in 21 years of playing with him was Yo-Yo Ma. So that's how I was first introduced to the world of playing with an orchestra.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yes, indeed. I love that story. It gets better every time I hear it. It's just fantastic. But so you don't read music. Let's come back to this. So how did you learn the tabla?
So the way we are taught, the traditional way is we do have a system of writing things down, but writing is more for reference. So you learn something, you go back home, and you write things down. It's more for reference, but it's not meant to be there. You don't look at it and play. So the way I learned, or any traditional Indian musician learns, is we are taught everything orally. Also, I went and lived with my guru. So I didn't have lessons scheduled, oh, this is your composition class, oh, this is your improvisation class, nothing of that sort. When my father decided that he wanted me to learn this instrument, he took me to the best. I can say he took me to the Yo-Yo Ma of tabla playing. Chased him for about 2 years for him to give us a time. I went there and he did some small tests and then ignored me for an hour while he was talking to this very famous vocalist who was also visiting him then. And then after an hour, he turned towards my father and said, this little kid has tabla in his blood and I will teach him. And everything for 12 years that I learned was taught to me orally. So in a way that my ears are trained like almost like a dog, that anything I hear, I am able to quickly make an outline, you know, a framework. It's like the brain works weirdly and a frame happens, and then I'm able to put, oh, this is where the eyes go, this is where the nose goes, this is where the lips are, and then all I do is color it. So even if I'm playing the same piece 4 nights in a row, it's not the same ever. So more or less it's the infrastructure, but I will be coloring it differently depending on what the vibes I'm getting from the audience or my fellow musicians. So that helped me. That kind of training helped me. That even this piece or any other piece, though you see paper here, but if you come and see it closely, actually Yo-Yo always takes pictures of my scores because they are more like mountains and eyes and squigglies because I create my own score. But mostly I rely on memory and that's how I play.
And so orally, that you, your guru would play something.
Me, yes.
And no. You would repeat it. Oh, he would speak it to you.
In 12 years, I hardly had him play and teach me anything. It would be while riding a horse or working in his garden, and he would say, what is the horse telling you? And as a 17-year-old kid, the horse was not telling me anything. And then he said, you fool, isn't it going taka taka takita taka taka takita taka taka takita? And suddenly I could feel that there is that groove, taka taka takita taka taka takita. And then he said, improvise with it. Of course, I failed miserably. But now when I play 7/4 anywhere, and you know, I didn't even know this is 7/4 till I came to the West. When I would play this, like, oh, you play 7/4 so wonderfully. I was like, what? For me, it's called jhulna le. So taka taka takita taka taka takita ta takita taka dena takita. So I can do whatever, and I'm like a free horse running in sevens. So that's how we were taught.
The third movement of this concerto by Dinuk Gujaratne, he gives Dinuk also plays the tabla.
No,
didn't he?
He is a tabla player from his previous birth.
Okay, so okay, well, that's what I got confused. But he has some knowledge of the tabla, and he's written down the rhythm so that the conductors can see, and all the paper trained musicians that we have in an orchestra. Well, I mentioned that it's very true because the first time I worked with the Silk Road Ensemble, I couldn't figure out how the piece was to go because I got sent a score and the recording didn't match it, and I was told by the previous conductor that everyone to the right of you, they do not read music, they do not know what a conductor is, and they play by ear, so never look at them. The people to the left of you are a string quartet, Juilliard graduates, and are paper trained. And I'm thinking, paper trained? Oh, that's interesting. So they could react to me. And so I had to learn a whole new way of conducting with these ensembles. But so Dinuk has given me something to go by, and he takes it off the page and makes it even more interesting. And in the last movement, he will say something, and then he will tap the rhythm of the words he just said. It's astonishing. Apparently, at the end of one of your classical Indian concertos, this is a tradition that where you would recite and play.
So tabla, you know, though it's a percussion instrument, we have so much repertoire that we also play solo concerts, you know, 3 hour long, 5 hour long. And it's, you know, people sometimes say, yes, you guys play 5 hour long. Yes, because we can. You know, because we are not playing the same thing. There is so much repertoire that we don't repeat. But so it's a tradition in tabla solos that you recite compositions and then you play it. You know, so it's almost like, you know, a sample is I can actually play that. It's like a language where every note that I am saying has a corresponding hit.
That is astonishing, and it's mind-bogglingly amazing, and you get to see that. When we come out in the concert after the first piece, Ascending Bird, we'll do a little bit of that, and we'll show you that. This is the biggest tease ever, because he's not going to play them now, sorry. But he's giving you an example of what he does, and he's tapped, and he can literally say that. One of the things that, I think one of the highlights of my week here in Rockford was some of the outreach that I've done. We went, and the highlight was Hillman Elementary. This man wowed kindergartners and first graders two different times, he did a back-to-back, and he just had them in the palm of his hand speaking rhythms, and you did a train. Mm-hmm. If you can imagine it, he got them to imagine what a train might sound coming from Boston, where you live, all the way here. And then he did a horse, and the imagery was just amazing. But how you began it, I think, was the funnest thing.
I got lucky, you know. Anyway, go ahead. Yeah.
It's like, so he, all these kids are sitting crisscross applesauce on the floor, so well behaved. And Sandeep says, okay, can anybody tell me why I'm here? And a few hands are going up to play, to show us the tabla, to play with the Rockford Symphony, whatever. And he goes, no, I'll have to tell you why I'm here. And he said, I'm here to make new friends. And it's like, I didn't know that was coming. And the kids are like, oh, that's cool, great, okay. And are we friends now? Yes, are we friends? Yes. And it was going back and forth. And you reminded them at the end of it. So this was just fantastic. But I mean, how... You told me afterwards, we did a little TV interview, that your purpose for what you did was not to turn people into tabla players or musicians. Do you want to finish that thought?
You know, I feel, so about 15 years back, we started up as part of the Silk Road with Yo-Yo, going into schools. Mm-hmm. And after my first visit at a school in Bronx, New York, Yo-Yo was so excited that he actually called me on my cell phone back then, which was very expensive, and I was on an Indian cell phone roaming. So though it was Yo-Yo Ma, I wasn't happy. So why does he have to call me on my Indian phone, Indian cell phone? But that's who he is. He was like, how did it go? And the only thing that came out of my mouth was saying no is not an option. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, you know what, Yo-Yo? We have to keep doing this, going out. And it's like, what did you expect to achieve? What are you trying to do when you are going into a school? And again, what came out from my heart, and I believe in it, that when I go into any school, doesn't matter what age group, or anywhere in the world, my hope is not to convert you into tabla players. My hope is not even to convert you into musicians. My only hope is that you see the love and the joy that I have playing with Alistair, the love and joy that I have playing with this orchestra. And the hope is that I leave all of you, be it elementary school kids, with a positive experience, hoping that some of that positivity will stick. And when each one of us are at a crossroad in our lives where we have to take a very important decision, I say this for children, I say this for all of us, that hopefully that positive experience helps you take a positive decision. And that's all my hope is with children, with you, with us, with myself. That's it.
I'm blown away by that, because I've done many education visits to schools and universities and retirement centers and libraries and given talks on conducting. And at that moment, which was 2 days ago, it made me kind of rethink why I'm here. So why am I here, everyone? To make new friends. And it's been that way. You have a wonderful orchestra, you know that. You have a wonderful board, you have a wonderful staff, and I have, this has been the longest search that I've done a few music director searches in my time, and it's been the longest search I've ever been a part of, because it began on Sunday last week. So, because you have rehearsals on Sunday, then Tuesday, then Thursday, and then today, Saturday, and the concert. And that's how it is here, and there's absolutely no rules that it needs to be anything different than what a city or an orchestra decides. But I'm more used to rehearsing on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So normally my week begins on a Monday. Maybe it's a 5-day week or a 6-day week, not an 8-day week. And it starts with interviews and meeting non-musicians, and then you meet the orchestra. But my week started making friends with the orchestra, started with music on the Sunday. It was the first thing that I did, which was great. But everywhere I've gone, all the outreach I've done with the radio station, with so much fun with Joe and I can't remember what his name was on WROK the other day, with going to the schools, with showing up at the university club and meeting lots of people last night. So many things. I really feel I've been making new friends.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
And it's easy to make friends with people who love music like you do. So you have been looking after this orchestra. And they are lucky to have you. Thank you for doing that. Love them as much as you can, and even more. They are so special, as you know, and we're going to wow you tonight. I'm just looking at the time now. We've got about 10 minutes or so left. Are there any questions for Sandeep? Because then I will, if we got a few questions, and then I'll let him go, and I'll just spend the last few minutes talking about Prokofiev so you can go and,
sure.
and warm up.
Sure.
Any questions for Sandeep? Yes. What was your musical experience before your father decided that you would play tabla?
So first of all, I was very lucky that I had one of the smartest fathers on this planet. My journey started because of a complaint from school. I used to go to this Jesuit school called St. Xavier's. So the father principal, who was actually from the US, he called my father to complain that I have been tapping on the desk as a six-year-old, and I have been disturbing the class, and when I'm asked to stop, I start tapping with my feet. And the father principal told my father that you should take him to a doctor. I thought I'll go back home, injections and pills and whatnot. Actually, when I went back home, my father, instead of being mad at me, had a big smile. And there were two little things on the coffee table, and so I looked at him, I said, "What are those?" He said, "That's a tabla, and your lessons start tonight." So he first took me to a tabla guru, a teacher in my hometown. For about 6-7 months, I learned from him. And then both that tabla guru and my father realized that I had the potential to be good at it. And that's when my father, who was always a fan of my other guru from whom I learned for 12 years, chased him for almost a year, found a date and time. So my experience was learning from another guru for 6 months, which I took to this other guru, played for him. He made some tweaks, ignored me. An hour later, he asked me to play those things. And when I started playing, he said, no, can you play it the way you used to play? And shockingly, or surprisingly, I couldn't play it anymore the way I used to play. And that's when he said, this kid has tabla in his blood and I will teach him.
Great, great question. Any other questions for Sandeep or myself? I heard something.
No, no? I think
it's the Asha. One more down here, yes.
So,
can you describe the technique?
Yes.
Well, you'll get to visually see it, but yes, can you describe it in words?
So, we don't use sticks. We use our fingers to play. The left drum is kind of the soul of the instrument and produces melody. So, it's not just we can play cool grooves, but there is also repertoire where only 5% of it is fixed. The rest you create. So, like even the first lesson that I learned as a 6-7-year-old kid, I'm still creating on it, I'm still finding new material, but there is also material that's fixed from starting to end. And the technique is mainly your index finger is the one that strikes the right drum and the middle finger of the left. But then you basically use all fingers and palm, and as you will hear later, I'll give a quick demo. I play with Yo-Yo Ma, I play with orchestras, you know, rock, jazz, Chinese musicians, underground musicians, I don't even know what that means, but like, so I've been able to play with some of the biggest, most famous musicians, music groups, orchestras, so good training and with a little bit of application, you can literally play this instrument with any kind of music from anywhere in the world.
They're one of the most versatile percussion instruments, is what you're saying.
I'm yet to come across any percussion playing from anywhere in the world in 31 years that I can't understand in 5 minutes. Uh-huh. Yet, this might take the best drummers, which they do, best rock drummers, best drummers, they go and learn this, and then they transcribe it on their drums and people get wowed. It's... As I'm getting older, I'm just blown away that our 444 fathers figured this out thousands of years back.
Yeah, would you think that we've all heard the tabla some, maybe not noticed it. We're seeing them up front and center in a concerto situation tonight. But they've been on musical soundtracks, on movies, on video games, on Bollywood. We will have heard this sound before, but just not maybe not been aware of it. Is that right?
Yeah. It's... You know, I'm very fortunate that I met Yo-Yo 21 years back, and he exposed me to this world. Like, one example before I go is, he brought me out with the CSO, the Chicago Symphony Orchestra, and I was in the audience. And interval, he said, I'm going to do an experiment tonight and show all of you how music is played from here and not with your eyes. And he said, Sandeep, I know you are in the audience, come out. I was in my jeans and t-shirt, and he said, I also know your instrument is here because you rehearsed with me this morning. So I was suddenly on stage, and someone rolled my instruments out, and he took the microphone, and he said, have you ever played the Brandenburg Concerto? And I said, I have seen the Brandenburg Gate in Berlin. He said, great, you are playing the Brandenburg Concerto with us. And there I was, playing a piece that I had never even heard. Yet surprisingly, I knew every twist and turn, every stop. It's kind of scary. Now when I hear some of your classical, the most famous pieces, the most well-known repertoire of the Western classical world, I'm not kidding, Alistair. Mm. I almost know what Vivaldi is going to write next, why Shostakovich is going in that direction, because when I'm hearing it, I'm hearing it as a whole. And it's kind of scary that I know pieces even before the orchestra has reached those bars. Wow. But that's what music is. What came first, paper or music? And I just got lucky that I met the greatest human being who exposed me to this world. And then I made friends like this crazy guy here who brings a tabla to with symphony and is not afraid to challenge himself challenge the orchestra and challenge all of you in a nice way. So I just feel that I'm the most lucky, fortunate guy that I have always met the right people at the right time and learned from them. That's it.
Sandeep, thank you.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much.
We'll look forward to some twists and turns in the concerto by Dinuk Wijeratne. It's very accessible. There's nothing too strange about it. There are melodies. He can play melodies, and he accompanies in the second movement, and then he recites in the third movement. Oh my gosh, this is a piece that I've now done with him three times, and each time he blows me away, as does the composer, with how encompassing this is. The fusion of Western classical with Indian classical, and it's just, you know, we need to be knowing more about our world these days. And I've just got a couple of minutes now just to say a few things about Romeo and Juliet. Do we all know the story of Romeo and Juliet? Great. Well, the first time I conducted this suite from the ballet, it was at an outdoor concert, and I was asked to tell the story in between the movements. And this was about 3 days before the concert, right at the first rehearsal, and I panicked, because with shame I realized that I had never read Romeo and Juliet. I hadn't really seen the movie, or I didn't know the story. I mean, I knew what happened, we all know what happens, but I didn't really know. And so for three nights around the rehearsals, I read, and I made sure that what I was saying was okay, and I didn't say anything. I had some Shakespeare friends. Can I say this, and does this happen here? And I didn't have time to read it all, but I have in the interim since that time. So Shakespeare, having grown up in England, as you probably can tell from my accent, even though I currently live in South Bend, Indiana, I am a Hoosier at the moment. Shakespeare, of course, has been very close to my heart all my life. But also close is ballet. My mother is still a freelance dance critic. I grew up in the ballet world, and one of my bucket lists was to conduct the entire ballet performance of Romeo and Juliet with a top ballet company. And about 8 years ago, I got to do that. And it is just the most remarkable. How many of you have seen the full ballet version of Romeo and Juliet? A couple of hands. It is life-changing. And when we get to moments in the score, I'm thinking of one or two or three specific dancers who I really was able to connect with and make sure to give them the right tempos and the right moments and the choreography. So what I want to share, I'll tell the story in between the movements tonight, just so that we can all know exactly what Prokofiev is doing and prepare you for that. But the choreography that I got to do about 8 years ago was the Christophe Maillot, who is the choreographer and artistic director of the Monte Carlo Ballet. And his take is a rather more modern choreography. I mean, I grew up seeing the Nureyev, seeing the Bolshoi and the Kirov, and these are fantastic. The grandiose, the old-fashioned style, I love this too. But this is a more modern, hip, cool choreography, and more sort of street dancing, if you will, still classical ballet, and very simple sets, and they would take this on tour and play to recordings. But with the Pacific Northwest Ballet in Seattle, where I lived for 19 years, to connect with the choreographer, to hear the reason for some moves in relating to the ballet was just enormously fascinating, and I still think of those. But there's one moment that I just want to share that I must for you to listen for. I think it's the seventh movement. It's called The Death of Tybalt, and it's the sword fight. And as we all know, what happens, but this is some of the hardest music for the violins to play. Everyone over here is going, it's some of the hardest thing. It's usually required as an excerpt if you audition for an orchestra. It's that hard. During this moment, most ballet choreography, they're having a fight. It's all, you know, hell for leather, you know, strangling, and somebody gets stabbed, and it's just mayhem on stage. But Christophe Maillot, at this moment, it's all in slow motion. So you see, on the stage, they're all It's like this calm, but the orchestra is what's really going on. And every time, you can find this on YouTube, every time I see this, I think genius of choreography to make us really kind of dissociate the two. There's great music and there's ballet. It's often together, but at this moment, I'm like, I'm focusing on the orchestra because I think that's what the choreographer wanted us to do. There's so much depth in Prokofiev's music. I was chatting with Ben, the assistant conductor, who's been great ears in the house with balances, and he was telling me something that I didn't focus on too much before. He loves the bass lines, the harmonies, the root of the harmony. Have a focus on the cellos and the basses and the bass, where the harmonies take us. Of course, there are leitmotifs. There's Romeo's melody. There's Juliet's melody. We can hear the characters. Mercutio's mocking in the death of Tybalt and the crowd scenes. As you listen, try choreographing yourself, your own ballet version. Perhaps that's something to do if you're not jaw-droppingly going, how are the violins going? I am out of time for this talk. I've got about 30 minutes to prepare myself to come back and give you a magnificent concert with the Rockwood Symphony. I've had a great time this week. Thank you for having me for this great program, and enjoy our concert.